B-Pod Studios.
Ron Jaworski on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right, Ron, it was a win, and the quarterback threw a couple of bombs, and he straightened down the second half. What did you see?
Well, pretty much it was obvious that Carson Wentz had a rock-solid game. I was very impressed with what I would consider his growth. You don't know, what you would expect to see coming out of a preseason where he did not take a snap. I am dead against that, by the way, and I'm very crystal clear. I think guys need to play some in the preseason. You can never replicate the speed of a game, and I think it helps a quarterback to have been in a game. Well, Carson certainly dispelled that. And when I say I like his growth, what I really saw when I went through the tape, Mike, was his ability to manipulate the secondary. And it's just something, we talk about a lot, looking people off, eye fakes, pump fakes, all those things to move people out of position. He did that. And did it very well, particularly on two touchdown passes to DeSean Jackson. First of all, great design by Mike Groh. They probed that defense early in the game with some formation variation. He found that 3-by-1 set, three receivers to the right, one to the left, DeSean in the slot. And he waited for the opportune time to call those plays, and they got the coverage that they hoped they would get. So you got to give Mike Groh some really good props on that for designing some plays to attack that Redskins defense. But both of them, if you look, and I look at it from the end zone angle on my coaching tape, his head is to the left. And that's what I call manipulating people, forcing them to move, going away from where you want to throw the football, and creating space. I thought Carson was phenomenal in that regard.
Yeah, and I know the player you're talking about in particular, where he knew he had him. He looked at him first, and then he looked off him because he knew he had him. And then he conned the defense and looking the other way, and then he came right back with the throw because he knew it was there. You're right. I saw some growth in him with that as well.
No question. And he probably could have thrown one touchdown pass to Nelson Aguilar. Again, the design of the place was a deep crosser by Aguilar, and really they got on the safety really quick. So he had an either or. The safety had to choose one way to go, and he got caught in no man's land. So when I look at it on the tape, Aguilar's probably upset because he could have had a touchdown pass.
What did you make of the offensive play calling and the offensive efficiency in the first half? What was the reason why they had such a hard time getting started?
Nothing went right in that first half. I mean, it was sleepy. It was like, wow, what did? I mean, the crowd was all lathered up, man. I was down on the field pregame, the national anthem, all the things going on, and then defense comes out there and basically was sleeping and allowing Case Keenum to go right down the field. The offense comes out. They really didn't show much except for the one play to DeSean in the first half. But here's what I gleaned from the tape, Mike, and this is where I think this team is going to be really, really good. They really changed up the offense throughout the game. The different style of running game that they had, was kind of augmented to each back. Each guy had a different set of plays, and this offensive line, and I'll say it again, I've told you this maybe for the last couple of years, is the best offensive line in football. And they just wore down the Redskins defense. I know some guys got nicked for the Redskins in the second half, but they were worn out. And pretty much the Eagles could do what they want to do in that second half. So this is a physical offensive line that can come off the ball with a Jordan Howard power running game. And you see a Miles Sanders slashing style of runner. And yet they can, use those read option plays, the zone reads and RPOs and all those fancy things with Darren Sproles. So from a defensive perspective, man, you don't know what to expect.
20 touches for Darren Sproles. Were you surprised by that? And does that have to decline a little bit?
I was very surprised by the number of touches. But it's obvious he still had some giddy up in those legs. Here's a guy that I think back to San Diego Charger days. Not only New Orleans, but and coming back from the numerous injuries that he's had, and leg injuries to running backs they normally don't overcome. So man, you got to give some props to Sproles. He's a special player, and I've said it for years. He's kind of that satellite type back. You got to give him some space, and when he gets some space. He makes people miss, and what an addition to the punt return game. I mean, he was fearless. He goes north and south, and he always gives you a positive play.
Don't wear him out.
Don't wear him out, Ron.
That's the only thing, you know. I thought it was a lot of carries that he had in that game. But
yeah, I'm not going to argue with you on that for a guy that you know has been out quite a while and banged up like he has been. But I watch these backs though too, Mike. I think the guy with the big upside is going to be Miles Sanders. I mean, you can just see his quickness. And once he had a couple mistakes in his pass protection where he gets caught peeking inside and you know free a defender comes from the outside, and I thought there were some of those things that are going to keep him from getting more plays in the game. But you can see his clear athletic ability to run and catch the football. He's got to understand who to block and how to block before he gets more snaps.
Yeah, he did have one really good blitz pickup that was very noticeable in this game.
And that's going to come. That's going to come with playing time. But he missed a couple, and it wasn't that he's not a willing blocker. You know, these exotic schemes that these NFL defensive coordinators throw at you now, man, they are designer blitzes, and you know they try to take advantage of young players, particularly in that backfield.
Sean obviously was great in the game, but let's look at some things that we can be critical about. The cornerbacks, what were your thoughts, and what did it look like on tape?
Yeah, I probably some missed tackles more than anything else, but that group has to play better. I mean, you know, you give up 380 yards to Case Keenum, and the receivers that they're running out there, a bunch of guys named Joe, although they played very well, but this wasn't a polished group of receivers, and without Jordan Reed to put up 380 yards, it's a little bit of a head scratcher to me that the secondary did not perform. But I thought the biggest part of it was, particularly in that first half, there was no pressure on him. Their offensive line did an outstanding job of giving Case Keenum, you know, a cushion to throw from. He was able to move around and make some plays. And when you look at his defensive line, and I will put it up there as one of the best in the NFL, but they didn't show it in that first half yesterday. They got going in the second half, and you know the pressure from the defensive line has got to help this secondary. It's not a lockdown one-on-one type secondary. It's just not the way that they play, the way they like to play, and the way this defense is built. So it's built on getting pressure on the quarterback.
I'm going to ask you if you have a solution now. Malik Jackson is going to be out for a while. Do they have enough to overcome that? Or we talked a bit earlier about maybe Chris Long making a phone call and doing what they did last year when he played and they moved Brandon Graham inside on some plays. What do you favor here?
Last time I saw Chris Long, it looked like he could play safety now. He looked like he lost
a lot of weight. Oh, really? He lost a lot of weight.
Which a lot of these guys do when they don't have to have that girth to play in the NFL. They immediately, you know, try to get some normal weight. But that is a huge loss. In fact, I've said it, Mike, that I thought the Malik Jackson quietly would be one of the best acquisitions the Eagles made in the offseason. Now, obviously, DeSean Jackson was number one. But from a defensive perspective, you know, he did not play well in Jacksonville. But, man, that guy was a Super Bowl MVP. When the Broncos won the Super Bowl a few years ago, he was absolutely phenomenal. So I thought he would come to Philly and you know, with the rest of the guys that he was on that defensive line with, he would get a lot of single blocks and he would tear it up. So I think it is a significant loss. I don't know the length or extent of the injury, but it may be something they have to think about bringing another big body in there and a guy that's a penetrator.
All right, I got to ask you about this Antonio Brown drama, which played out over the weekend. We haven't talked about it much today. I want to get your opinion on, was this an orchestrated move to get the Patriots, to get Antonio Brown with the Patriots? What are your thoughts on how this played out?
I chuckle because I kind of dealt with it firsthand. I was out in Oakland earlier this year during training camp, you know, when he was having the foot problems and all the other things that were going on. And you know, being there for 3 days and seeing the distraction that this guy caused, Mike, it's hard to run a football team. You know, I have, you know, utmost respect for these coaches, successful ones, unsuccessful ones, for leadership in the front office. You know, I've been around this game since, you know, 1973. I know how hard it is to win. And when you get players that aren't committed to the team concept and the culture of team, it's hard to be successful. And everywhere you went, you know, Hard Knocks is out there, cameras are there, mics are there. I'm trying to talk to Mike Mayock, and you know, it's a boom, one of those audio things above my head. So you just can't say anything. So it puts everyone on you know, walking on eggshells. And then you got this guy, nothing but a distraction. You know, it was really bizarre. And I know I'm telling you, I'll tell you this, and I mean it sincerely, Mike. Gruden loves his talent, and the guy is incredibly talented. John tried to facilitate this guy into his offense and get him ready. You know, it's just, I don't know if the guy wanted to be there, didn't want to be there, but when you have that kind of distraction, you got to move on.
Yeah, he obviously didn't want to be here, but then he's at the ultimate rehab center. I don't know how they do it, but I'm curious to know how you think this plays out. They've got two guys now that they're counting on at the same time to rehab.
This will be the ultimate test for Bill Belichick. There is no doubt in my mind. This one will test him. This guy's I don't think he's posted anything yet today, has he, Mike? I haven't been
there. No, but I'm curious about, like, he always seems to do it, but, like, he could be up. This might be the ultimate. You're right. This is the ultimate thing. Yeah. What do you think happens here? Does he conform because of this team thing, which you already said he had no part, he didn't want any part of, or does this blow apart for the Patriots?
My gut feeling is he will not conform. You know, he was in a great situation in Pittsburgh. You know, Mike Tomlin, this guy's a heck of a head coach, disciplined coach. Ben Roethlisberger, you know, I'm great quarterback. He had everything there. And he, you know, then the last season all started falling apart. He couldn't conform there. So, when you can't conform to a bunch of guys that you've played with for a number of years that you have respect for and they respect you, I will be surprised if this plays out well for Antonio Brown and the Patriots. I'm telling you, and save this audio, I don't think it's going to work. He'll probably get 20 touchdowns this year.
You would bet the no on this one.
For the what?
You'd bet the no that it's not going to happen.
I would bet no on this one.
But just imagine if it does. I mean, my God, with these receivers they have right now.
That team, we talk about these power rankings. I mean, you watch that game last night. That's a pretty good Steeler team now. That's not the Miami Dolphins that they whipped up on. They get them this week. I don't know what the pass. Yeah. I think the passing record is 551 yards by Norm Van Brocklin. You play that defense of Miami Dolphins. It's a threat to have a new NFL record every single week. So, but that team looked loaded last night. The Patriots did.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.